Welding on Chof Vav Amud Beis, about the middle of the wide lines, by the two dots, Simen Dever Varayas Ganav. So Simen, that's Simen for Dover Varayas Ganav, really, is a key words of the next three statements. We've been talking about people who are apostle Eidos. The last thing we mentioned is that there are people who are apostle because they did an Aveda Daraisa. And then you have people who are apostle on the grounds that they did something Dirabanan, where there we said we need Hachroza, we need to announce publicly that they did it before they can be apostle Eidos. So the Gemara goes on. So Simon Dever Varai, so Simon Dover Varai is Ganav. Omer Rav Nachman, Oichle Dover Acher Psulam La'edus. Rav Nachman says that people who eat Dover Acher are Psul La'edus. Now, normally Dover Acher means Chazir, but here the Gemara is going to draw a distinction between in public and in private. So therefore, Tosfos explains it can't mean that. So Rashi tells us what it means is the Dover Acher, in general, Dover Acher means something unmentionable, something that we don't want to mention because it's disgusting, basically. So sometimes it's used of Chazir Fleish, it can be used of Tzaras, a number of things. Here Rashi says what it means is where he takes Tzedakah from Goyim. Now, Rashi explains, it's a Chilul Hashem. Rashi doesn't explain why it's a Chilul Hashem. Rishonim explain, the problem is, then the Goyim are going to say, look at this, the Jews don't take care of their own poor. Here they make such a big deal about Tzedakah and all, and they don't take care of their own poor. The Yad Raman, the Rambam give a somewhat different reason, that the reason is because it's a bizoyan in public for him, it's a bizoyan for him to be taking tzedakah like that from them, and therefore if he's gonna act in a way that shows bizoyan for himself, that shows he has no self-respect, then we're concerned he might also, like this, a regular person, a normal person is not gonna testify falsely in Beis Din, even if they offer him money, because he has a certain self-respect. So a person who lacks that is susceptible to maybe testifying falsely. So therefore we have to passel his Eidos. However, the Gemara says, Hani Mida B'Fahesya. That would only be where he's receiving that tzedakah in public. But if he does it in private, then no. Because according to either of the explanations, if you say it's a matter of a Chilul Hashem, it's not going to cause a Chilul Hashem because it's being done in private. And if you say it's a matter of that he's showing that he has no self-respect, since he's doing it in private, it shows that he does. And the Gemara continues, even when we're talking about the Fahesia, him receiving tzedakah, is only where he would have been able to be supported in private, and instead he chooses to take it publicly. Become Mavazi Nafshim of Fahesia, and then he's acting in a way that shows Bizoyan and himself in public and taking tzedakah. But if it's impossible, if he can't live without the tzedakah chayusi, who listens, his livelihood, and you can't say that he's causing a chilul Hashem or that he's being mavazeh himself by doing that. Therefore, he remains kosher la'edus. There was quite a bit of discussion about this among Rishonim and Achronim about various parameters of this. One thing is, aside from what we're saying over here, that it can be a Chilul Hashem to take tzedakah from them, there's also a consideration the Gemara mentions in Baba Basra, that when the Goyim give tzedakah, it's more zchusim for them, and do we really want them to have more zchusim? We want that ultimately their zchusim will get used up, and then their power will be broken, and Mashiach will come. So that factors into this as well. One thing is that, you know, when we're saying over here that it's only that where he can't live without it, we're not talking about necessarily that we're not talking about pikuach nefesh. Like if he doesn't get that tzedakah, he's going to die on the spot. Of course, you know, very few things stand in the way of pikuach nefesh. We're talking about just where he's having a very hard time making ends meet. And then there's an interesting discussion among Achronia Poskim about what happens nowadays with government welfare and all that sort of thing is not going to make a person postulatus. So there's a lot to discuss about that. In particular, the Kloisenberger Rebbe says in his Trialos of Trovis that no, for one thing, because they don't give it, the government doesn't give those things out of the goodness of their heart. They give it because they want to get reelected. So they're not doing it necessarily specifically as a favor to Jews. Plus, he points out there are other considerations as well. The fact is they give it pretty broadly. It's not specifically to Jews, and there's a variety of other points that are made up as well. One point that one that one Sefer makes in that regard is nowadays people don't even know in general, because the Gemara has established earlier that when people don't know that something is an Aveda, then not to say it's not an Aveda, but at least you can't necessarily hold them guilty of doing it. Nowadays, many people don't even know, for example, of this concept of not taking tzedakah from the goyim. Adarava, people tend to think whatever the government's going to give, you know, it's available, let's take it, by natural let's mitzrayim, and all that. So therefore, you can't necessarily say that they're possible la'edos on the basis of it. Okay. The Gemara continues. The second thing that Rav Nachman says about people who are for a kosher apostle edus, Omer Rav Nachman, ha-choshur al ha-arayas, the person who is suspect regarding arayas, kosher edus, is still kosher edus. Rashi explains that the point is that he's apostle edus only if his rishus has something to do with money. Because then, for one thing, we're concerned he might take money to testify falsely. But here, we were talking about where his problem is in some other area, then that's not necessarily an issue. Omer of Sheshes, but of Sheshes says, Ani Mori, answer me, Rebbe, are boring the kaspe, the kosher. How could it be? He's getting 40 malchus on his shoulders, meaning, in other words, because he's kosher al arayas, he's doing something which can make him chayev malchus, the kosher, and he can still be kosher as an aid. So in other words, Rav Sheshes disagrees with this concept that it has to be dafka eid chomos, that it has to be dafka something involving money, taking money illegally. Rav Sheshes is saying that it should apply also to any other aveira that would make him chayiv malchus. Now, here it's not strictly speaking malchus daraisa. Here we may be talking about makas maudus derabanan, because we're talking about he's only choshur al arayas. He's suspect about arayas. Now Rashi points out there's no asura over here, but nevertheless a person can get makas maudus for that there are bad reports going about him that he's committing znus or whatever, and they are jirabanan. So there is some discussion about in that case why we're saying dafka 40 over here. I mean makas maudus on the face of it depends on whatever basin evaluates. There is quite a bit of discussion among Rishonim about the exact distinction between makas daraisa and makas jirabanan. So one thing is that there are Rishonim who explain in brief. The Rivash explains in one of his Trubas in more detail. He says Makas Maudus in a way can be harsher than Malkus Daraisa because basically they were meant as a preventative thing to prevent to you have, for example, there can be Makas Maudus where based in beats a person to force him to do a mitzvah, it's a kumvase. He has to do that mitzvah, and therefore Beistin is beating him to force him to do it. But if you're talking about that he was over on a mitzvah that I've done on, like here, then of course it has some kind of limit. But then there's possibilities. Maybe Makas Maudus are not as strong as Malkus Daraisa. In any case, getting back to the Gemara over here, Rav Sheshes is bothered by how can the guy be choshur al arayas and still be kosher la'edus. However, Omar Rava, so Rava says, so Rav Nachman was not concerned about that. However, Omar Rava, Umoyed Rav Nachman, in an Edus Isha Shu Apostle. Rav Nachman will agree when it comes to Edus regarding a woman, for example, that her husband died, or for example, that he's one of the Edim on a get, that he would be apostle for that. Omar Rava, be tamer a papa, loyamaran el la puka. Now, Rava, or some say the papa, says that no, that way that what Rava is saying would apply only to take her out of her husband. So yeah, if he's gonna come to Basin and give Edus that her husband died or divorced her or whatever, then we can't believe him because maybe he's doing it in order to be Mizana with her. Aval Ayula, but Rava or a papa says to bring her in other words, to be one of the Eid Kedushin, less one bud, and there's no problem. What's the problem? He's gonna be an Eid Kedushin to say that she's off limits to him, Adarabba, he wants her to be available to him. But the Gemara asks Pshita, isn't that obvious? And the answer is no, because Mawadatema Ha'adifale, you might think the other way around. Maybe, in fact, he would prefer to testify falsely that she is Mekudesh, that she's Mekudeshes, and that she's off limits to him. And, Dichtiv, after all, the Pasuk says, Mayim Gnuvim Yimtiku V'Goymer, the Pasuk says, stolen waters are sweet. So sometimes you have. Sometimes a person psychologically, sometimes the Yetzirah prefers to get him to do something that's also like there's a greater thrill in it. So therefore, so here he might be testifying that she's married, when in fact she's not. In order to now, the fact is, if she's not married, what good is that doing? So some Mefarshim point out, listen, you know, I mean, after all, if he testifies she's married, then people are going to consider her as such, and that means she's not going to be as available to him. So therefore, he may want to do it in order dafka to have that thrill of then being over on something that's osur. There was an interesting Musudic idea brought from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that says sometimes a person's Yetzer Hara will get him to do this kind of thing. They'll make for themselves an imaginary issur, an imaginary barrier, just so they have the pleasure of in the Yetzer Hara of breaking through it. So that's a psychological thing. So therefore you would think that maybe in this case that's the case with this person. So maybe we shouldn't allow his edus that she's Mekudeshes either. Kamashmalan, therefore Ravino or a Papa is telling us that no. The fact is, the more she's available in a status of being a pnuya, being unmarried, she will be more available to him, and therefore, if he's testifying that she's married, then we taka, we are going to overlook those considerations, and we are going to say it's much more likely that he wants her to be available to him, and therefore, if he's going to testify that she's mekudeshes, that he's making her not available to him, and therefore, it's more likely that his edus is valid. This in general, by the way, that we're saying that a choshen ala arayas, Reb Nachman is saying, is kosher la'edus. Tosfos points out, first of all, again, we might be talking about choshud over here. Soon we're going to talk about in the Gemara about an oichel nevelus, somebody who actually eats nevelus, where that's different. There we actually see him eating nevelus, we see him eating tref. Here we're talking about only a choshud. He's suspect of arayas, but we don't actually have any solid proof of it. But then Tosfos points out another very interesting idea, because when it comes to Arayas, we can say that his Yetzer Hara gets the better of him. When it comes to Nevela, when it comes to other kinds of things, we learned in the first parak, for example, about a person committing bestiality with an animal, a person doesn't have such a powerful Yetzer Hara for those things, so therefore if he's doing those, we have reason to say that he's doing it deliberately and that he should be possible Eidos. When it comes to Arayas, even if it's not just Choshud, even if we know that he's committed Arayas, Tosfos says in their second answer that maybe it's not... Not to say it's not so bad, but you can't pass the la'edos on it, because you can say the Yetzer Hara got the better of him. Very interestingly, Rav Kook talks about this in one of his early letters, in one of his tshuvas. He says, based on that, he wants to exonerate many of the non-frum Jews of the last few generations. He says, basically, it's pretty much the same kind of thing. The Yetzer Hara has gotten the better of them to fall into assimilating among the Goyim and copying their ways or whatever. You can't really hold them like Mizidim. Basically, according to this Tosfos over here and some other relevant Tosfos elsewhere in Shas, it comes out that basically they're Anusim, which is, of course, the whole concept we have of Tinik Shenishba, but Rav Kook seems to be going further with it and saying, a Tinik Shenishba is not just somebody who was raised without knowledge of Yiddishkeit, as you have many Jews nowadays, unfortunately, but he seems to be saying that even if they did grow up frum and then went off the derech, nevertheless, they were seduced into it by contemporary society, and therefore it's similar to this person over here who's an onus because of his Yetzer Hara. So in short, a real limud schos on many of the not yet frum or were frum and are currently not, etc., Jews of nowadays. All right, going on, the Gemara says, V'omer Reb Nachman, then Reb Nachman says a third din. Ganav Nisin, v'ganav Tishrei lo shmei Ganav. A Ganav who steals during Nisin, which is the harvest time, and of grain, and Tishrei, which is the time of the grape harvest, is not a Ganav. Now, what does that mean? Why is Nisin and Tishrei different than any other time? Hanimili ba'arisa. First of all, we're talking about an oris. So the oris has been working the land all this time on behalf of the landowner. So now, the oris is supposed to get a certain percentage of the crop. That's the deal. The oris gets, as we look back in Brav Metziah, depending on the arrangement they made, he gets a third, a quarter, whatever the percentage is. But now, he's murder heter for himself. He rationalizes for himself that he can take a little bit extra, because after all, I worked so hard on it. So now, if in the grain harvest time, or in the grape harvest time, he takes himself a little bit extra, and he's an oris, so he has a little excuse in his mind, but davar mu'at, and we're talking about a little amount of something, or davar nigma malachta, and something where the processing of it has already been completed, so he thinks to himself, you know what, I'm no worse than a worker, so therefore I'm just a regular hired worker, so therefore I have a certain heter to take a little bit of it for myself. After all, we know a worker is allowed to eat on the job, so he's rationalizing to himself based on this kind of thing, and therefore, so again, it's one of those kinds of things where the person doesn't realize how serious an aveira it is. It is an aveira to steal even a tiny amount, but this person doesn't realize it, so you can't pass the la'edus on that on those grounds. So, and the Gemara gives an example. Well, the Gemara gives an example. Ikre de Rav Zvid. There was the oris of the oris, the farmers who worked for Rav Zvid. Chad gon of kav de sairi. One of them stole a calf of barley. Opasle, and Rav Zvid decided on that basis that he's possible edus because a calf is already a significant amount, and even he should realize for himself that that's wrong and not be doing it. V'chad gona kibura dahini, the other one stole a cluster of dates, and also a pasle, and also Rav Zvid, and also Rav Zvid pasled him la'edus. So the difference is, in other words, unlike in the, so Rashi points out, actually, the Iker was not an oris. So the Iker is just somebody who works, and Rav Zvid pays him. So therefore, so he has no excuse, even in his own mind, to take even a calf of barley. So therefore, so now you can't say, like Rav Nachman had said, well, he's going to rationalize to himself, after all, I'm an oris, I get a certain percentage, I'm in a way a part owner of this field, so therefore I should be entitled. Here they're just hired workers, and therefore they have no excuse even in their own mind to do that, and therefore Rav Zvid passes them. Okay. Another case, Hanuk Ruroi, there was a case with people who are burying the dead, the local Chevra Kadisha, to cover Nafsha, the Yom Tov Rishon Shalat Seres. They buried a person on the first day of Shavuos. Now, the din is that if you have a mess on the first day of Yom Tov, Jews are not allowed to bury him. If the burial has to be done that day, then it has to be done by Goyim. The second day of Yom Tov, then the Chachamim made a heter. We're talking about in Chutz Laaretz, where we have a second day of Yom Tov, then the Chachamim made a heter, and you're allowed to bury Mesim on the second day of Yom Tov, even though there are actual Malachas involved. Nowadays, we don't necessarily do that for a variety of reasons, but in any case, the first day of Yom Tov is definitely also to do. And they were doing it for pay. Shamtinu Rapapa, so I guess we're not really talking about the Chevra Kadisha, because the Chevra Kadisha, I don't think it's paid, but whatever, we're talking about professional grave diggers. So yeah, Shamtinu Rapapa, Rapapa put them in Cherem, or Paslinu La'edus, and he declared them Pasal La'edus, because they had been, because, what are we, this is an example of Chomas, this is an example, because of money, they're being Oiran and Isser. So now we have to be concerned, in the future, they might take money to testify falsely. However, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua decided that they're kosher la'edus after all. He didn't disagree with putting them in nidui in cherem, but he did disagree with passing them la'edus. So Papa asked him, aren't they reshoyim? We see we put them in cherem, and why should they be kosher la'edus? So Rav Huna answers, listen, Savri mitzvah ka'abdi. They thought we're doing a mitzvah, we're doing covered a mess over here. Yes, they did it in the wrong way, but after all, you can't say that they're out and out blatant Rishoyim. So the Papa asks, v'okam mashamtino lehu, what do you mean? They see we put him in cherem. That itself shows them they didn't do a mitzvah. So now they're doing it again and again. So we see, obviously, they are Rishoyim. They're doing it deliberately. Okay, the answer is Sabri Kapora Ka'abdi Lon Rabbanon. So Rav Huna says no, because they're going to think of themselves like this. You know why they're putting us in Cherem is, yes, we did something wrong, but the fact is they're going to think like this. They're going to rationalize, you are allowed to break Yom Tov for the mitzvah of Kvuras HaMes, which is a big mitzvah. They're putting us in Cherem, the Chachamim. Fine, you know what that means? It means that every time we do that, the fact is we are being Mechalo Yom Tov, and therefore we need a Kapora, and therefore they're putting us in Cherem as a Kapora for that, but not that what we did is actually completely wrong. In other words, they would think to themselves, it's almost like the kind of thing, for example, you have a din that if a person needs to fast a tainus cholim on Shabbos, and he does so, but afterwards he needs to fast another day as a kapara for the fast, as tshuva for the fact that he fasted on Shabbos. So now these grave diggers are going to think to themselves the same way. Yes, of course, we know that breaking Yom Tov is wrong. That's why the Chachamim are putting us in Nidui as a kapara for that, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it next time, because the fact is it still needs to be done. So therefore, Rav Huna is saying they're not deliberately going and breaking Yom Tov, knowing that we're telling them it's wrong. That this is their rationalization to it. The Yad Ramah explains, the Muka Yosef explains a little differently, that Rav Papa's second question is, look, why shouldn't they at least come to Beis Din to ask for the Nidui to be taken off? And if they don't ask that, doesn't that mean they realize that they're guilty and they should be possible? And the answer is, listen, they figure, you know, we have to go through the entire 30 days of Nidui as a kapara for having broken Yom Tov, even though it was a mitzvah to do that. And again, the point is they're not realizing that they're actually, what they're doing is a blatant avera. Okay. The Gemara says, Itmar. We have a discussion as follows. Eid Zoymin. Suppose you have an aide who was an aide zoymim. So we know what aide zoymim are. So here you have, let's say, he gave edus in Nissan and about a certain loan, let's say. Then the following Tishrei, Edom came to Beis Din and said, Imanu ha-yisem, you were with us someplace else, and therefore, and we know the Torah tells us you believe the second Edom, and the first ones get punished, v'asisim lo'kasha zomam. So, now, obviously, from that time on, they're apostle edus. What about before that? So, in our scenario over here, they first gave their edus, which now has turned out to be false, in Nissan. They first gave their edus, which has turned out to be false, in Nissan Tavshin Pei Dalad, let's say. Now it's Tishrei, Tavshin Pei Hei, and it's been shown that that edus was false. What happens to any edus they did between Nissan and Tishrei? Abaya Amalam, Afreya Hu Nifsal, Abaya says he gets passed retroactively. So anything from Nissan and onward in our scenario is going to be possible, because after all, it turns out that that was edus, that edus that he gave was wrong edus, was false edus, so therefore he's possible from then on. Rava says only from now on, only from Tishrei onward will any new edus of his be possible, but anything that he did between Nissan and Tishrei, Rava says will still be kosher. So, Abaya Omalam Afreya Hu Nifsal. So why does Abaya say that he gets passed retroactively, covering all the time? Now, by the way, the Rashba points out, we have to realize, we don't mean, for example, if let's say he comes to Nissan testifying that a loan took place in Adar, we're certainly not going to passel him from Adar. The fact is he only came to Beis Din to testify about it in Nissan. What we're talking about is from Nissan or from Tishrei, as the case may be. So according to Abaya from Nissan and according to Rava from Tishrei. Abaya Omalam Afreya Hu Nifsal. Abaya says the reason why he's possible retroactively back to the time when he gave that edus that turned out to be false is Me'idna D'Asid Roshahu, because after all, ever since he gave that edus, it turns out now that he was a Rosha, because now it turns out, now we know that he gave edus that is false. Vatora Omar al Toshas Yodcha im Rosha. The Pasuk says, don't place your hand together with the Rosha, which includes, that Pasuk includes several different dinim, and one of them is al Toshas Rosha Aid. It's addressed to the Dayanim. Do not place a Rosha as an aid. Do not allow a Rosha to be an aid. So now it turns out that he was a Rosha as of when the document was signed, or as of when he gave the edus. Actually, whether it applies to a document, actually, you're showing him talk about, maybe not necessarily, because after the Ran points out, with a shtar, you can always say that they post-dated it, so not necessarily can we go based on the date it says in the shtar, unless it explicitly says in the shtar that we actually signed it, unless there's wording in there that actually says we signed it on the date below, or something like that. In any case, the point is, but if you're talking about Edus Alpeh, Abaya is saying that, look, it turns out that Edus was false all along, so therefore it turns out that he was a Rosha, and you can't do that. And then therefore all his Edus, everything that he does from when he gave that Edus, is going to be possible. Rava Amar Mikana Labo Nifsal. Rava says, no, he's only possible from now on, because Rava says, Eid Zoymim Chidushu. The whole concept of Eid Zoymim is really a big Chidush. Because after all, my chos samcha sahani, smoy chahani. After all, why should we believe the second set of edim who say, manu ha-yisem, maybe we should be believing the first set of edim. It's a gzeres ha-kosef, basically. So Rava says, ein lecha boi elef mishas chidush ha-elef, so therefore you can really only apply it from when the chidush takes place and onward. Meaning, in other words, you have a case like this. You have something called Edim Hamachishim Zuasu. Shnei Kita Edim Hamachishim Zuasu. So suppose Reuben and Shimon come to Beis Din and they say that Yankel lent Moshe $100 on this past Sunday, let's say. Then two other Edim, Levi and Yehuda, come and say that no, on that day he couldn't have, because on that day Yankel was in a different country. That's not Edim Zimim, that's just Hakosha. The fact is, we say we don't know which one to believe, so we just throw out the whole Edus and ignore both of them. And then we can talk about, are any of them possible Edus? The Gemara discusses elsewhere that if you have one person from one pair and the other from the other pair come to testify together, that might be a problem, because obviously one of them are lying. We just don't know which one. But in any case, with Adam Zingman, the Torah tells us specifically, completely discount the Aedus of the first ones, where the second ones are saying, listen, we don't know. Maybe Moshe lent Yankel that money on that day. Maybe not. We weren't there. But what we do know is, Imanu Hayisim, that you, Adam, yourselves, Reuben and Shimon, were with us elsewhere. And the Torah tells us they believe the second Adam and the first Adam get punished appropriately. That whole concept is a chiddush. Why should we say that we believe the second set over the first set? Now, to be sure, we showed him talk about, there is a certain degree of logic to it, because after all, the second Adam could come and testify, for example, that the first ones are Gazlonim, or other kinds of Rishoyim, and passel them. So there is a certain logic to it, but basically, though, it's Xeris Akostov. So therefore, so Rava is saying, so fine, once the Chiddush takes place, once it turns out that they're Adam Zomen, then fine, we can say that they're apostle. But not retroactively to when they said the Adus. So Tosfos actually points out the chiddush is really not so much that we're passing the first Adam. The chiddush is really more that we're saying that the second Adam are kosher. The fact that, again, unlike with Hakosha, where we would say, as far as we're concerned, we don't know which set of Adam are lying and which ones are telling the truth. We're just going to throw out the whole thing. But here we would think that both sets of Adam are possible, and that's it. Instead, we're saying the first set are possible, the second are kosher. So therefore, so Rava says that you can't really apply that for months retroactively. So that's what Rava says. Eid Zengen Chiddush, my chaz, the smoich, the samcha sahani. What makes you think to rely on the one set of Adim, smoich ahani, instead rely on the other set? Ein l'chaboy el mashach chiddush ve'elach, so you can really only apply it from the time of the chiddush and on. Okay. Ikadamri, another version is Omar Rava Namika Bayis Virlay. Another version, another way of understanding the Machloikas would be that Rava also agrees with Abaya's point that they should be possible from when they first gave the Aedus. But what would be the Machloikas? Umay Tam Koma. Really, what Rava is saying is just a reason. Umay Tam Koma Mekano Laba. Rava would say, though, on the other hand, why am I going to say that even though in principle, yes, they ought to be possible, the Machreya, all the way back to the time when they said the Aedus, Rava argues that maybe we should say the Shabseded Lakuchas. You should say, after all, listen, protect buyers during that time may lose out. Imagine, for example, that you had, so here they testify in Nissan about a loan or something. Later on in Eir, somebody took these same two Adim, let's say, to sign a shtar that he had sold a field to Pliny or whatever. Later on, it turns out they're Adim Zemmin. We're going to make now that whole sale is going to be invalidated because of that, because the Adim were possible, and it's going to be a harm to the Lakuchus. So therefore, Rava says, for that reason, maybe we shouldn't say that they're possible retroactively. Maybe we should only say that they're only possible from now on. So that would mean, in other words, for example, so if they sign on Gittin V'Kiddushin, then maybe indeed that would be, then Rava would agree in the second Lashon that they are in fact possible. So the Gemara says, my binayu. So in that case, then what's the practical difference between Rava and Abaya, or between the two reasons of Rava? And the answer is, ikke binayu, da asfilu beit shrei b'chad. The naskimina would be, suppose that two Edim come to give Eidos about one of them. Now, for them to be Edim Zimmerman, it has to be that both of them have been Muzam. Both of them are being told Imanu Hayisim. Doesn't necessarily have to be by one new pair of Edim. You could have one pair of Edim comes and says, Reuven, you were with us in B'makom Pliny. And another pair says, you, Shimon, were with us in B'makom Pliny. But here we're talking about, in other words, that... So here we're talking about exactly that. Here we're talking about that one group comes to say that one aid of the first one is an aid zaymim, and another group comes to say that the other one is an aid zaymim. So if you say it's a matter of chidush, there's not really much of a chidush in that. Of course, two aidim can impeach the validity of one aid. So then, according to the first lashon, Rava would have to agree that they're possible mafreya. But according to the second explanation of the we don't want the lakuchas to lose out, then Rava would have to say that nevertheless, though the fact is we don't want the poor lakuchas to use these people as aidim, not knowing they're going to turn out to be aidim zimmin, and therefore you can't impeach their validity of their aidus for months in advance. Inami de Pasluna Begazlanusa, or another explanation, another possibility, another nafkamina, would be, suppose that the new Adim don't come and say Imanu Hayisim, but they come and say, you guys stole something back in Nissan, and therefore you pass the la'edim because you're gazlanim. So as far as chiddush, there's no chiddush in it. Of course, we believe that when they're testifying about those edim themselves, that they're gazlanim, as long as we can corroborate that what we're saying, that what they're saying is correct, then yeah, we can pass all their edus. But again, if you say it's a matter of making the lakuchas lose out, then you have to take that into consideration as well. Now that's according to Rashi. Tosfos actually has a different gusa, meaning that Tosfos understands that the scenario is where we're saying the nafkamina is two edim came and said that one of the two edim is zomim, but not the other. Now, for them to be edim zomim, it has to be that both of them are impeached like that, and here it's only one. They come and say Reuven imanu hayisim, you were with us someplace else, but Shimon, we say we don't know about. Maybe you were there, maybe we weren't. So the point is that Eid Zomim is a chiddush. So we're saying that we can still call it a chiddush. The fact is that the fact is that Shimon is saying, what are you talking about? I saw it together with Reuven. So maybe we shouldn't be believing the second Eidim, and nevertheless we do. So then Marshal and Marshaw go into an arichus on Tosfos, explaining exactly what Tosfos means over here and the details. So Marshal talks about, let's say, for example, we could be talking about that the two Edim to begin with, let's say Reuven and Shimon, who are coming and testifying about what happened, each one of them, for example, saw it from a different place. So Shimon can't say, wait a minute, I can testify Reuven was with me, because the fact is he can't. They saw it from a different vantage point, and they didn't necessarily see each other. So Shimon can't join together with Reuven to say, you know what, after all, I can go up against these Edim and say that he was not with them among employee, but rather he was with me there, because the fact is he can't. They saw it from different vantage points, from different windows, to use the terminology that the Gemara uses in Masechet Makkos. So then there wouldn't be so much of a chiddush in it. But nevertheless, you have Pseidu de Lekuchas, you still have the Lekuchas losing out. And similarly, when it comes to Gazlonus, would be, again, where they're saying that one of them would be Mazim and the other one is a Gazlon. So in that case, he can't join in with that Edus. So we have Nafkaminas in Rava's Dinim, and then in the two reasons that Rava's giving. The Omer of Yumi B'Difti, so Rabbi Yumi B'Difti says, what's the practical halacha? Over the Papi Uvda Kavase de Rava. Rapapi one time passed in and practiced like Rava. There was a case like that of Edim Zemian, and Rava allowed them to, and Rava allowed their Edus of the months in between the original Edus and the Hazama, to stand, and he only passed their Edus from now on. On the other hand, Marbar of Ashi Omer, Hilchsa Kavase da Abaya, and Marbar of Ashi says the halacha is like Abaya, and in fact, the Hilchsa Kavase da Abaya be Yao Kagam. We know there are six cases where the halacha is like Abaya. This is one of them. The Ayin stands for Eid Zomim. There is, by the way, a fascinating series of drushas, which are very, very long and complex and deep. A series of drushas from the Noda Yehuda before he became the Rav of Prague. He was the Rav in a city called Yampol. And he gave on a number of Shabbos Shuvahs in a row over a period of several, I think it was Shabbos Shuvahs, maybe it was Shabbos Agadol, I don't remember. Anyway, over a period of several years, he gave a detailed explanation why we have these things in this order, why Dafka the Yud first and then the Ayin and so forth. After all, it's not in the order that they are in Shas. So he explains basically that once we know the halacha is like Abaya in the Yud, which is Yud Shalemidas, then that in turn forces us to say, and he explains in depth why that forces us to say over here, like that the halacha is like Abaya when it comes to Eid Zomim. And once we know that, then that forces us to say, because otherwise it wouldn't work out logically, that the halacha is like Abaya in the Lamed, which is a case of in Erev in Lechi Ho'im in Me'elov and so forth. Like each one depends on the previous one. Api Kabbalah, Rav Levik, the Rebbe's father, points out that the word Ya'al means to go up, and Kagam stands for Kohos, Gershon, Merari, who are the three sons of Levi, and they represent Gvura. He explains that Abaya represents Gvura, and Rava represents Chesed, and therefore it means that in these cases, Gvura overpowers Chesed. Okay. Here's another machlokes of Abaya and Rava. Mumer Oichel Nevelos L'Te'oven. If you have a person who a mumer, now we usually think of mumer as being a person who converted to another religion, Rahman al-Fan, but really more generally, mumer means anybody who acts as though a particular mitzvah doesn't apply to him. So now you have, he's a mumer Oichel Nevelos. He's eating trefa food. L'Te'oven, if he's eating it because of his appetite, so for example, because today for food is easier to get or cheaper or whatever than kosher food. Divrei Hakol Pasul, everybody is going to agree that he's going to be pasul la'edus, because again, this is a matter of chomos, this is a matter of that he's doing an aveira because of mammon. So again, because he's eating treif because of mammon, he might testify falsely because of mammon. What about lahachis? What about if he's doing it to davka to anger Hashem? So kosher food is just as easily and cheaply available as treif food, and if a davka goes and eats the treif food in order to say, look, I'm doing this specifically against Hashem. So now, what's the din as far as an aid? Abaye amar pasul, Rava amar kosher. So Abaye says he'll be pasul la'edus. Rava says in this case he'll be kosher. Abaye, I'm a pasul to have a rosha, because after all he's a rosha, he's doing a serious aveda over here. And in fact he would be chayiv malchus, like Rav Sheshes had said before. A person who's chayiv malchus has to be pasul la'edus. No, and again, as Tosfos had drawn the distinction over there before, it's one thing if it was znus, that one thing if it was arayus, where a person has an enormously powerful yetzahara for it, but here he doesn't necessarily. In any case, so Rabbi says that's reason enough to make him possible. V'rachmana amal toshes rosha aid. As we said before, the Torah says don't make a rosha, don't allow a rosha to be an aid. V'rava amal kosher, Rava says no, it'll be kosher. Rosha de chomas ba'inan. In order for him to be possible aidus, it has to be a rosha of chomas, something involving money. And here it's not involving money because he's just saying, I want to anger Hashem. Well, the Gemara says, Mesvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction on Rava. When we say this pasuk al toshes yodcha im rosha liyas aid chomos, that a person, you're not allowed to allow a rosha to be an aid. So the Braisa explains when it says al toshes rosha aid, al toshes chomos aid. So it's like this: it says al toshes yodcha im rosha. Don't place your hand together with the rosha liyas aid chomos, to be an aid of chomos of wronging financially. So the Braisa says it means both. Al toshes rosha aid, don't allow a rosha to be an aid. Al toshes chomas aid, and don't allow a chomas, a person who commits chomas, a gazlon, to be an aid. Now, then the Braisa explains, aid gazlonin, so that refers to people who steal, umoylan b'shvias, and people who are umoylan b'shvuas, and people who are over on shvuas, people who are testifying, b'pashvias, it sounds like it means, like they're swearing falsely. So the Gemara says, my lab, echad shvuas shav, echad shvuas mamen. Now on the face of it, when we say shvu ois in plural, we mean there are two kinds of shvuas. There's a shvuas shav, which is, for example, he swears about, let's say, he looks at a stone pillar and swears that it's made out of gold, which is an obvious, Rashi says, so Rashi says shvuas shav actually would be a useless shvua, which would be where he's testifying, for example, he looks at a stone pillar and says, I swear that that's stone. So it's a useless shvua, everybody knows it's stone. Shvuas sheker, on the other hand, would be where he looks at a stone pillar and says, that's gold. So that would be one kind, the echad shvuas mammon, and then you have a shvua of mammon, where he's swearing falsely to collect money from somebody or something, or to be potter for money. So you see that shvuas shav alone, even though it has nothing to do with money, it makes him postulators. So why shouldn't eating the velos also? And the answer is like, no, idi mammon, no, idi shvuas mammon, no, both of them can refer to a shvua of money. Oh my, shvuas to alma. When it says shvuas, it doesn't mean two types of shvua. It just means, in other words, that you have a shvuas in general. We just mean the plural as an indefinite thing. You have a lot of shvuas out there, and he's over on them. But not necessarily are we talking about that any of them are shvuas mammon. That all of them are Shavuos Mammon. And yeah, there are different kinds of Shavuos Mammon, as we will learn later this year, Be'ez Hashem, in Masechta Shavuos. So therefore, but not necessarily if he's over on Shavuos Shav, if he's going around swearing about stone pillars, that they're gold, or that they're stone, not necessarily, Rava says, would that be enough to pass along the Eidos, even though, yes, he is getting Malkus for it, but nevertheless, it's not a Rasha of Chomos. So the Gemara says Mesvi. Then I have another contradiction. This one on Abaye. The Braisa says Al Toshes Rosha Aid, Al Toshes Chomas Aid, Elu Gazlonin Umavi Ribius. Another Braisa says that what are the Rishoyim and the Chomas who are not allowed to be Aidim is Gazlonim and people who lend at Ribius. Now those are things of money. So Tufta da Abaye. Wouldn't that be a contradiction on Abaye? And the Gemara says, Tufta, you're right, that would be a contradiction. That Braisa seems to pretty clearly say that the things that make a person chayev, that the persons that make the things that make a person possible for Eidos are strictly things of mammon. Well, the Gemara says, name a katemnoi, should we say that this machlokas abaya and rava, or is actually a machlokas tanoim? A braisa says eid zomim posel l'chola Torah kula, and eid zomim is posel to testify about anything in the Torah, whether dinim mominus or dinim nefashas, divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yosi says not necessarily, but med varam amurim shehuzam b'dinim nefashas. When a person was huzam, when it comes to dinim nefashas. So he had come to Beis Din together with somebody else to testify that somebody has broken Shabbos or done something else, or worshipped Avodah Zarah, or whatever, done something that makes him chayav mitzvahs Beis Din, and now it turns out that he's an eid zomim. Then Rabbi Yossi is saying, come on, he's obviously a very, very big rosha that he was going to testify, that if his testimony had checked out, this other guy would have been killed. So therefore, yes, you can say he's posel l'chol ha'torah kula. Aval who's on the dinim mominus, but Rabbi Yossi says if the hazama was only a dinim mominus, then kosher the dinim nefashis, then Rabbi Yossi says he will be kosher to give edus on dinim nefashis. We have a general rule, Rashi points out, that kosher lechomer, kosher lekal, but not the other way around. When a person is suspect about violating a more serious aveda, then he's suspect also of violating a less serious one, but not the other way around. So if he was guilty of testifying falsely that Reuven owes Shimon $100, that doesn't mean that later on he can't come and testify that Reuven is chayev misa, and we might accept his edus. So now the question is, Neymar, Abaya, Kerab Meir, Rabba, Kerab Yossi. So should we say Abaya is holding like Rabba Meir, he's posel l'chol ha'torah kula, that's it, and Rabba is going to say like Rabba Yossi. Namely, we would say like this: Abaya, Kira Meir, Darma Aminin, Mikula Lachumra. Abaya, what is Rav Meir saying? That even though the Hazama was only a dinim mominus, it was only a false testimony as far as dinim mominus, nevertheless, Rav Meir is passing him for any kind of edus. Therefore, Abaya would be following that. So Abaya is saying he's doing a lesser avera of eating the velus. Nevertheless, we would suspect him of also testifying falsely. Where the difference is, after all, the velus is Rala Shamayim. He's doing something bad against Hashem, but it's not Rala Brias, and other people, at least openly, are not getting hurt by it. Okay, Kol Yisrael Arim Zelazeh and all that, fine, but at least openly, it's not hurting other Jews, as opposed to testifying falsely as Rala Shemayim, Rala Brias. Nevertheless, Rav Meir would say that the same way as when he testified falsely on Momon, then we also don't accept his Eidos in the future as far as Nefashas. So Abaya is going to say the same thing as far as Nevelus versus false testimony. The Rava, Da'amar Kerab Yossi, Da'amar Machumri L'Kula Aminin, L'Kula L'Chum L'Ay Aminin. Meanwhile, Rava is going to hold like Rabbi Yossi, who says we only say that he's possible when you go from Chomer to Kal, but not the other way around. So it was the same way as Rabbi Yossi is saying, he testified falsely on Momon, doesn't mean that therefore he's going to necessarily testify falsely on Nefashis. So Rava would say the same thing, the same way, just because he's choshered, just because he's eating Nevelus, which is Rala Shemayim, doesn't necessarily mean that he would be Rala Brias and testify falsely as well. So does it come out then? That's a Macholikas Tanoim. Well, the Gemara says, Loi, no. Within Rav Yossi's opinion, everybody would agree. Sure, Rav Yossi is obviously saying that if he's choshed on something lesser, then he's not choshed on something greater. So yes, according to Rav Yossi, yes, we would have to say Rav Yossi agrees with Rava. But the question would be within Rav Meir's opinion. Abaya to Rav Meir. Abaya is straight out like Rav Meir. Choshed l'kal is also choshed l'chomer. The Rava, where's Rava? Would answer that. No, Ad Kan like Amar Rav Meir Hossam and Gabe Eid Zoimim the moment. No, because you know what Rav Meir is talking about over there. The fact is, he was an Eid Zoimim after all. He did testify falsely on money. Dirala Shemayim Vidala Brias. And again, fine, money is less serious than the Flushes. Nevertheless, he was testifying falsely, which is bad against Hashem. It's an Avera, and it's bad against people to testify falsely against them. Avalhocha, the Rala Shemayim Vein Rala Brias. Here you're talking about a person that's eating the Velus. It's only Rala Shemayim. There's no Rala Brias. There's no Rala Brias involved at all. So it's one thing. In other words, when he's eating the Te'ova, and then we said, fine, there's a matter of money involved. Then the fact is, he's eating it because he's eating the Nevelus, he's eating the Treif, because it costs less, and that means, therefore, we see he's cheap on money, and therefore we have to be concerned that he might be taking money falsely to testify. But here, where there's no money involved, it's strictly Lahachis, then Robert says that's not reason enough to pass on Laedus. Okay, the Gemara says, V'hilchsa kavasei da'abaya, the halacha is like abaya that even he's eating lahachis, he's posel edus. The Gemara says, V'hoi toisa, what do you mean? We had a braisa before, and we shlogged up abaya. And the answer is, Hahi Rav Yossi, that braisa was according to Rav Yossi. Now that we established that we have Rav Yossi versus Rav Meir, then Rabbaya is not necessarily contradicted, because he could be holding like Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, so what? For Tehevi Nami Rabbi Yossi? Fine, even if that Braisa is like Rabbi Yossi, so what? Rameir Rabbi Yossi, Alocha Rabbi Yossi. We have a general rule that when we have a machloikas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is generally like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, how can we defend Abaya by saying that his opinion is according to the mayor? And the answer is shiny hossam. It's different over there. Just sussam lantana to the mayor, because in a Mishnah, we have a Mishnah where we have a Sam Mishnah like Reb Meir, and therefore we can say, and therefore, so that's the halacha, and therefore the fact that Reb Yossi disagrees, nevertheless the rule that the halacha is like a Sam Mishnah overrides that, and therefore the halacha can be like a Baya who in turn holds like Reb Meir. This is another one of the six things of Yau Kagam, because this is the Mem of Kagam, Mumer Oichol Nevelis. Now, the Hecha Sosam Lon, where do we have the Sam Mishnah like Reb Meir? So we're going to learn that out from the following story. Kihod Bar Choma Kotel Nafsha. There was a fellow named Bar Choma who had killed somebody. Omele Resh Galusa Lerab Abba Bayakov. So the Resh Galusa, who was the governor of the Jews in Babel at that time, says to Rab Abba Bayakov, Puk Ayinba, go check into the matter, go interrogate the Edim and everything. E Vadai Kotel, if it turns out that he really did kill, L'chiyuha Le'enei, they should knock out his eyes. Now, what does that mean? Rashi has several explanations. The first is it means literally that. They should gouge out his eyes. There's no Mrs. Beis Din anymore. This story is taking place in the time of the Amoraim, long after the Sanhedrin is not able to judge Dinin Nefashos. But nevertheless, we know there was a concept based in Makin V'Onshin Shalei Min HaTorah that Beis Din can beat people and then punish them even beyond what the Torah says. So here, the Resh Galusa is saying this is an example of that. That's one explanation, Rashi says. Second explanation, Rashi says, is take away all his money and give it to his Yoshim. So he himself will be left penniless. The third explanation, Rashi says, is put him in Chayim. Of the three explanations, Rashi prefers the first explanation, and that means that literally they're gouging out his eyes. There are examples where the Rishonim mentioned, the Rosh, for example, mentions in one of his Truvas, a case that was brought to him where actually the Bote Dinim in Spain in the Rosh's times apparently had government were authorized and ordered by the government to actually execute people when necessary. When a person had done something which would make him chayav misa even by Goyish law, then the Goyish government would delegate it to the Bote Dinim to carry it out. So one of those Bote Dinim, and I think in the city of Toledo, wrote to the Rosh asking, should we do that? The fact is there's no Din in Afarshis nowadays. And the Rosh says, in the Tshuva, that, you know what, it's true, there's no dinim nefashis nowadays. I'm told that you're required to do it by the king, but still, I don't know, you shouldn't necessarily be doing that. So he says, you know what, in this particular case, the guy was guilty of blaspheming, of cursing Hashem, and even the Goyim agreed in those times that that's a serious thing. So fine, the Rosh says, cut out his tongue. And that would be his punishment. So we see an example of this. For here we have in the Gemara, gouging out his eyes. We see that sometimes based on Bote Dinim, even nowadays, are empowered to do such things. But again, so the Resh Galusa says to Rav Abba Bayakov, go check out the situation and see whether we should do that. Also, Trei Sadi, Yashidu Devadei Kotel. Well, two Edim came and said that this Bar Choma had actually killed. Ozel Ihu, well, Bar Choma doesn't give up. I see Trei Sadi. He himself brought two Edim, Ashidu Be Bechad Mehanach, to give two Edim to pass on one of those two Edim who had testified that he had killed. Chad Oma Kamoi Didei Gan of Kabad Choshla, one of the two Edim that Bar Choma brought, said, that, so here we have Bar Choma, the accused murderer. Then we have Reuven and Shimon had testified that he killed. Now, Bar Choma is bringing Levi and Yehuda. Now, of those two Edim, Levi and Yehuda, Levi testifies about Reuven, Kamoididi gonav kabo de choshla. In my presence, he stole a calf of peeled barley, which is a goblin, he's postulatus. Bachadoma, the other one of the new Edim, Yehuda, says about Reuven, Kamoididi gonav, Kata de Burtia. In my presence, he stole a handle of a spear. So in short, in other words, they're saying, both of them, they're saying that these Edim are apostle Edus. So therefore, so that means that there's no Edim, there's no valid Edim against Bar Choma.
Omele, sort of Abba says to Bar Choma, who had brought these new Edim, my daitech k'remeir, what are you thinking? You're thinking like Remeir that these guys are choshered on money and therefore we can't accept their edus when it comes to dinin nefoshes, which is what we're dealing with over here. Now, to be sure, according to Rashi's three explanations, one of them is not necessarily dinin nefoshes, one of them is not necessarily dinin mominus. But nevertheless, the Edim themselves are thinking that that Bar Choma should actually be executed. Fine, the Beis Kabbalah says, saying maximum penalty we'll give him, according to Rashi's second explanation, was to take away all his money, but nevertheless, the Edim, when they first came to testify that he had killed, they didn't know that. So therefore, it can be considered dinin nefashos. So now, anyway, Rab Abba is saying to this Bar Choma, you think the halacha is like a mayor, and therefore, that once these guys are shown by your new agent to be gazlonim, then they're postal aiders, and you go free. No, the mayor Rabbi Yossi, Allah Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, and according to Rabbi Yossi, just because they're choshered on money doesn't mean they're choshered on dinin nefashos. So therefore, they're Rabbi Yossi ha'amah huzam b'dinin mamonis kosher the dinin nefashos. By the way, we see, I guess, from this story, this Bar Choma must have been a shtickle tamen chacham for Rab Abba to be telling him about Rab Meir and Rab Yossi. If he was stam and am aretz, then that wouldn't mean anything to him. Anyway, omale Rab Papi, but Rab Papi says to Rab Abba, no, because Hani, again, like we said before, Hani Mili, Heichad Bois Tosa Montana, could Rab Meir. Sure, that rule that the halacha is like Rab Yossi against Rab Meir would apply where we don't have a stam mishnah like Rab Meir. But here we have a stam mishnah like Rav Meir, and therefore the halacha has to be like him, and therefore, yes, once these edim are, and therefore, once these edim are found, if Bar Choma's edim check out, and in fact Reuven and Shimon respectively install something, or both Reuven and just one of them, would be enough, then that would be enough to exonerate Bar Choma. But we have a stam mishnah like Rav Meir, and therefore, yes, as long as we can prove that of the original Edim who were testifying against him, at least one of them is a gazlan, then he goes free. Well, mimai, so where does Rav Papi find a stam mishnah like Rav Meir? Ilema mahod etznan, are you going to say he learns it from a mishnah that says, koloroi lodron dinin nefoshes, roi lodron dinin mominus, where it says anybody who's suitable to judge dinin nefoshes is capable of judging dinin mominus? Now, on the face of it, when we're talking about what do we mean, where he's roi or not roi, but pashtus, we mean where he's choshud. So you're talking about somebody who's choshud on something, he's suspect of a certain kind of avera, and nevertheless, we're saying that even though he's suspect about something involving dinin nefoshes, he can still judge dinin mominus. So we have to figure, mani, who would this be like? Ilema Rabbi Yosihi, would you say it's like Rabbi Yosihi? No, ha'ika eid zoymim de momen. After all, you have a case of a person who turned out to be an eid zoymim as far as momen, de kosher le dinin nefoshes, or posel le dinin mominus. And according to Rabbi Yosihi before, we said he'd be posel in the future, he'd be kosher in the future for dinin nefoshes, he'd only be posel for dinin mominus. Because again, we would say that when he's kosher for some lesser, then he's not kosher for something greater. We're not going to say that he would go so far as testifying falsely to have somebody executed. El Alav Rameir. Evidently, that Mishnah in Nida must be like Rameir. So therefore, so you see that there's a stam Mishnah like Rameir. What kind of proof is that? How do we know? You're talking about where they would be possible because of Averus, and you're talking about whether they're possible or whether they're possible or kosher because of Averus. Duma, but Psula Yuchsin Koi. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about whether they're kosher or possible on the grounds of Yuchsin. For example, a ger or a mamzer. A ger or a mamzer can sit on a basin for dinin mominus, but they can't sit on a basin for dinin afoshus, as we're going to learn in the next parak. So maybe the Mishnah is saying that. Anybody who's kosher to judge dinin nefoshes, meaning that he's from a miyuchas family, is automatically also by the same logic, kosher to judge dinin mominus. But the reverse is not true. If he's kosher to judge dinin mominus, he may be possible to dinin nefoshes, for example, if he's a ger. And after all, the Gemara says, "Dilo tema hachi." Otherwise, if you're not going to say that, look at look at the next part of the Mishnah. Dekatoni yesh roi lodron dinin nefoshes, ve'ein roi lodron dinin nefoshes. Sometimes you have certain kinds of people who are suitable to judge dinin mominus, but not dinin nefoshes. Now, amai ein roi. Why would he not be roi? It's not the dinin nefoshes. You're going to say because he was muzam as far as dinin nefoshes. You're going to say he testified falsely that somebody should be killed, and he turned out to be an eid zoymim, and now you're going to allow him for dinin mominus. Roy Lord of dinin mominus, everybody would agree he's possible at that point. Elab psul yuchsin koi. Obviously, yeah, we have to be talking about psul yuchsin. For example, a ger or a mamzer. So it has nothing to do with whether he's a bal averus or not. Hochanami, Psul Yuchsin, Kori, the same way the beginning of the Mishnah is also talking about matters of Psul of Yuchsin. So you don't have that Mishnah, it is a Sam Mishnah, but it has nothing to do with what we're dealing over here with a Baal Averis versus not. So, Reb Papi continues, Ela Hocha Kosasam Lantana. No, I'll show you where we have a Sam Mishnah like Rameir. Ditznan, we learned a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Elohena Psulim. The following people apostle to come and say Edus as far as that they saw the new moon, where they come to Basin and testify about that. Hamasachik Bekovia, gamblers, as we talked about in the last couple of blocks, why the apostle. Or Malvi Beribis, people who lend at Ribis, and we're talking even Ribis to Rabbanon. Or Mafricha Yonim, people who make pigeons fly, where earlier the Gemara had given a couple of blocks ago two explanations of that. One is that they bet on pigeon races. The other one is that they have trained pigeons that are trained to lure other people's pigeons away. Either way, so according to the first possibility, then it's under the general heading of gambling, for which the Gemara had given two reasons why such a person is possible. According to the second reason, it's a type of gezel derabanan. The Seichei Shvius, and people who do business selling fruit of Shmita, whereas we talked about before, that's also Min HaTorah. The Ha'avadim, and slaves. So all of those are listed in the Mishnah there in Rosh Hashanah as being Posel La'edus, as being Posel La'edus HaChodesh. Again, and the Mishnah continues, Zaklaw, call Edus Shein, Isha Kshedola, the general rule, any Edus that a woman is not kosher to give Edus on, Achein Ein Kshedola, then these people listed in the Mishnah are not kosher for such Edus. Meaning, in other words, there are some times when we do accept the Edus of a woman, for example, that a man is dead, and that therefore his wife can get remarried, and we have a couple of other cases, so those we would accept from these Psulim as well, but otherwise not. Now, Mani, now who is this Mishnah like? Ilema Rabbi Yossi, you're going to say it's like Rabbi Yossi, who says that just because he testified falsely on Mammon, that we can't accept it, then he doesn't become possible for Dinin Nefashis. What do you mean? I can give you another example. But you have, there is a case that goes against the rule of the Mishnah. You have an Edus in Dinin Nefashis. She'ena Isha Kshedola, where a woman is not kosher for Edus in Dinin Nefashis, Vehein Kshedola Law. And yet, these Psulim of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yossi, would be kosher for it, because they're only Psulim because of Mammon. And therefore, we can accept them for Nefashis, which is also, we can accept them for Edus Achodesh. Elolav Rameiri. Evidently, that Mishnah must be like Rameir. And the point is that we're saying, and Rameyer is saying, so the rule holds good always. Rameyer would say once they're choshered, once they're posel la'edus in dinin mamonis, then they're posel la'edus in anything, including in dinin nefashis. So there's a sam mishnah like Rameyer. Well, Bahama was extremely grateful for the Papi standing up for him and showing that these original Edom who came and testified against him apostle. Come Bahama Nashtiakare, he got up, he kissed the Papi's feet, the Kabli, the Kragid, the Kulishni, and he accepted on himself for the rest of his life that he would pay the taxes that otherwise the Papi would have to pay. So partially wanted to show his gratitude that the Papi had worked out how to exonerate him, how to show that the Edom against him apostle. So he did that out of gratitude. The Yad Ramah points out, by the way, if Papi had been the Dayan himself, he couldn't have accepted that, then there's a problem of Shechad. But here, he's not the actual Dayan, he's just there, and discussing it, so therefore it's valid for that. Another point as well, the Rosh makes another point as well, Talmud HaChachamim, in principle anyway, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, are exempt from many kinds of taxes as well. So like this, in other words, old Bahama was saying this, if the government ever imposes taxes on you, Papi, which they shouldn't be doing anyway, because you exempt as a Talmud Chacham, then I'm taking it on myself that I'll pay them. So he's not necessarily giving him anything, because if they never charge a Papi taxes, then Bachom is not actually paying anything. Okay. The Mishnah says, Eluhena Kroivim. Now, we said that also relatives are possible to judge a Din Torah and also to give Edus. So let's talk about the details of what relatives. The Eluhena Kroivim, the following are the relatives that apostle to judge or to give Edus. Ochiv, his brother, Vachi Oviv, and his uncle, his father's brother, Vachi Imai, his other uncle from his mother's side, Ubala Choisei, his sister's husband, his brother-in-law, Ubala Choisei Oviv, his uncle by marriage, his brother, his father's sister's husband, Uvala Chois Imai, and the husband of his mother's sister. So again, his uncle by marriage, Uval Imai, also his stepfather, the Chomiv and his father-in-law, the Gisoy and his brother-in-law, meaning before we had the brother-in-law who was the husband of his sister. Now we're talking about Gisoy would be his wife's brother. So Hain, now with the psul of Eidos or of Dayan or of Dayanus applies to them, Uvnehen as well as to their children, the Chasnehen as well as to their sons-in-law. And then you have one more. So you have a bunch of relatives. You have a bunch of first and second, degree relatives. And then you have one more, v'churge levadai. Then you have his stepson only. So his wife previously married and she has a son. Then you would be possible to say Eidos regarding him or he regarding you, but only him. If he has a child, for example, then you would be able to say Eidos in something involving that child or vice versa. Rabbi Yossi says this that we just taught is the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. This is how. Now, Rashi, by the way, brings up the point over here. Once we mention, for example, that why do we even need to mention the stepson? If we're saying that his stepfather is possible to him, then automatically that means his stepfather is possible to him. So why mention Choga at all? Once we have the stepfather is possible to testify for the stepson, then we know it's the other way around as well, and there's no reason to mention Choga as well. So Rashi explains like this. Whenever all of the ones in the Mishnah over here are all the ones over here in the Mishnah that we're mentioning things that are bidirectional. My brother is possible to say Eidos regarding me. I'm also possible to say Eidos regarding him. We're each other's brothers. The same way father and son and so forth. So now, in other words, the Mishnah is mentioning. So the Mishnah is mentioning in each of these cases is mentioning something where you realize if you look at the relationship the other way as well, then it's also possible on those grounds as well. So you can go and find it. So Rashi says, don't be bothered by the fact that the Mishnah says Chorga, because the Mishnah is mentioning a lot of other things that are unnecessary. The Mishnah is mentioning a lot of other relatives over here, where if you analyze it, you're going to find, of course, you know, the relationship is the same thing in reverse, and it would be anyway under one of the other headings in the Mishnah, but there's no problem of mentioning it. There's no problem of mentioning it again. And then Tosfos goes and discusses in some detail and says that no, each of them, there is actually a chiddush. It's not just mentioning them unnecessarily. Sometimes it's because to say them themselves. Sometimes it's to say that includes their sons and their sons-in-law. Then why does it mention the stepson? Is it's mentioning just to be aware that it's levadai and to be aware that it doesn't extend to future generations. And then Tosfos goes and discusses in detail why each one of them would be necessary, why we couldn't derive one from the other. Anyway, Omar Rabbi Yossi, Zumishnes Rabbi Akiva. This is how Rabbi Akiva taught that all of these relatives are possible to testify or to judge a din Torah for one another. Ava Mishnah Rishona, but the original Mishnah before Rabbi Akiva came along was Doidoy or Ben Doidoy, that the Psulim are his uncle or his cousin, V'cholan Roy LeYoshoy, and anybody else who's in line to Yarushin him. As we learned from Baba Basra, you have a line of Yerusha, where if a person doesn't have children, then it goes back, the Yerusha goes back to his father, and if not his father, then it goes to his brothers, and if not, then it goes to his grandfather, and then to his uncles, and so forth. So uncles and cousins, in principle, are in line to Yarushin him. So therefore, the missionary Shona was that those are the ones who are apostle, that those are the ones who are apostle Laedus. But in other words, according to the Mishnah Rishona, if they're not in line for Yerusha, then they would be kosher. So say, for example, according to the Mishnah Rishona, let's say a father-in-law might be, father-in-law to son-in-law might be kosher because they're not in line to Yarushin one another. Rashi mentions, for example, that, let's say, for example, maternal brothers, where they only have the same mother, not the same father, there's no way they're Yarushin from one another, so therefore they would be kosher to give Eidos for him, but maybe not the other way around. So that was the original Mishnah, but then Rabbi Akiva is adding all these other relatives. Continues the Mishnah, v'chol akod of loy v'oseh shah, and also anybody else who was related to him at that time, when the thing took place, when the loan took place, or whatever it is possible. What happens if he was a relative at the time and then he became distant? So let's say, for example, a son-in-law. Let's say at the time the father-in-law lent somebody money, and now the son-in-law is going to go and give Eidos on it. So it'd be possible because he's his son-in-law. But let's say by the time he comes to give Eidos, his wife has passed away and now he's not the guy's son-in-law anymore. Hareza kosher, then he would be kosher to give Eidos. Because the fact is, right now he's not a relative. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, for the Mesa Bitiv, Yeshlet Bonimimena, Rabbi Yehuda says no, even if the daughter died, but he has sons from her, Hareza Korev, then he's still considered a relative. Because in other words, let's say the son-in-law over here, he has children from his wife who passed away, nevertheless, there's still his Shver's grandchildren, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that's enough of a relationship for him to be possible Eidos. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Here's other types of people who cannot give eidos. A friend or an enemy. When we say a friend, we don't mean a friend, we mean a shushvin. As we learned in Baba Basra, you had the whole mutual aid kind of thing when people are getting married, where people would give gifts to the chosen to help cover the cost of the wedding, and then they'd be invited, and there was the whole arrangement where there, when the next one of the group gets married, then they're going to do the same thing for him, etc. So these shushvin are really, really close friends, so we're concerned that he might testify falsely for him in his favor. And what would be the definition of an enemy is where they didn't speak for 3 days because they hate each other. Jews are not suspect of that kind of thing, that they're going to testify falsely just because of this love or hate, and therefore so fine. To judge, Rashi says that not, because the judge has to be able to be completely objective, and he can't necessarily be. But to give eidos, they're not going to go so far as to testify falsely just because they love each other or because they hate each other. So we'll start tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We'll start the Gemara and deal with how we know this concept that relatives are possible, and then we're going to work out over the next couple of dafim in detail about what edim, what relatives are and aren't kosher for eidos and for judging.